I'm reading this morning from Psalm chapter 43. I'm going to read the entirety of the psalm. It actually has less verses than Psalm 23. Only five verses in this little psalm. I'll ask you to follow along silently as I read in your hearing. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. I'd like to use a few words from verse number 3 as the emphasis in the message this morning. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. And this being the first of a new year, I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on light and truth for a new year. Light and truth for a new year. Now, the psalmist seems to be referring to God illuminating his mind and heart here. Send out thy light and thy truth. Light, of course, gives us direction. And the truth gives us information. And Jesus is all of this, isn't he? He said, I am the light of the world. And the scripture tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. So basically, the psalmist is praying, Lord, I need more of thee. I need more of thy light and more of thy truth. Now, Horatius Bonar, that great preacher and hymn writer from Scotland 100 years ago, has a series of books or volumes that make up a set of books, and they're called Light and Truth. I promise I'm not going to give you several volumes this morning, and all the people said amen. But I do want to magnify this need. You see, the truth is, not only does the sinner need Jesus as light and truth, but Christians need more of Jesus in their lives, more light and more truth. And we might even use this idea of light and truth as understanding more of God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the psalmist said. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so I want to emphasize this matter of light and truth for a new year. It is said that Areopagus, the king of Macedonia, had a special hobby. I don't know why this intrigues me. You think of kings doing noble things. And very high, spending all their time in high endeavors. But this king of Macedonia had a special hobby of all things. His favorite pastime and pursuit was making lanterns. He loved to make lanterns. When I read that, I thought, boy, our king, the Lord Jesus, does not have to make lanterns. He is light. He is truth. And so I give that emphasis from the psalm this morning. Now, you'll notice this psalm has some similarities to the previous psalm, Psalm 42. You'll notice verse 5 in both psalms reads the same. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? As a songwriter, my thoughts are that it's no doubt the same writer, but later on he had another experience, a different level of life, and he wanted to write a little bit more on this same subject. I've added a verse to a song or two after another encounter or experience in life. Spurgeon said, because of this repetition in both psalms, that Psalm 43 could be referred to as an appendix to Psalm 42. They both are filled with whys. Why go I mourning? Why dost thou cast me off? Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? It seems as though the psalmist is somewhat discouraged as he writes. But in his discouragement, he realizes what he needs. He needs light and truth. And the purpose of this message this morning is to encourage some heart to see their need, their real need of light and truth from God. We live in a world of darkness. Even the most intellectual writings of our day compared to the Bible are darkness. The Bible is light. If you want light in this dark world, you need to seek the Lord. And if you want truth in a world of error, then you need to seek the Lord. So I want to say three things, God helping me this morning, about light and truth for the new year. First of all, as I've already alluded to it, I want to emphasize this truth of seeking for light and truth in the new year. Seeking for light and truth. You know, I have found that most of us get what we want. I would dare say, now there may be some exceptions, some wild dreamers here, but most everybody here got what they wanted for Christmas. Some of you may have had too big of expectations. Our two grandsons, Thomas, who is 11, and Samuel, who is 9, were talking about some of the things that they had wanted for Christmas, and their mother had sent an email to a friend and then had to go to the restroom. While she's in the restroom, Thomas slipped and read the email. And in the email, she had told her friend what she'd got him for Christmas. And I said, now, Thomas, that takes all excitement out of Christmas morning. The 9-year-old, who was real quick on his feet, he said, no, Papa. He said, the excitement is trying to keep a straight face on Christmas morning. Well, you can tell my family's full of deceivers. It seems to me most of us get what we want. You get your eyes on a fishing boat, and if you have to sell your wife's car, that's what you're going to get. Some of you women get a dress on your mind, or Maybe you were interested in a car. And first thing you know, us toughies have mellowed out. And we're trying to help it work out where you can get it. But isn't it interesting, though we usually get what we want, we have so little light and truth in our lives because we really aren't interested in it. We think we can handle life alone by ourselves in our own abilities. But here's a discouraged heart. We're not told who the writer of this psalm is. It doesn't say a psalm of David or a psalm of Asaph or a psalm of Moses or the sons of Korah. We have no author's name given. But we do sense a bit of discouragement. But in his discouragement, he's seeking for light and truth. Notice a couple of things that this involves. Verses 1 and 2 teach this. Our first emphasis is seeking for light and truth involves divine liberation. He says, judge me or vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Notice this term. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. I think much of that verse can be applied to you and me. We live in a nation, though we have in God we trust at this point, on our money, on our coins, there is much about our nation that is ungodly. And we need to constantly ask the Lord to come to our aid in this society, to deliver us, to liberate us from the deceitful people around us and the unjust ones who would do us harm. Deliver me, he says. I couldn't help but think that Jesus said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And light gives freedom as well, doesn't it? Liberty. My wife, thankfully, as often as I come in late in the middle of the night coming in from meetings, I'm thankful that my wife is not one who changes the furniture around every week. It's happened a couple of times. I've come in and she's moved a chair and I've just about busted my head open, falling over it because it's in the wrong place. But you flip the light on, you don't have any trouble, do you? And I believe spiritually, if you want liberty and freedom and deliverance, there is such in the light and the truth of God. Amen. Seeking for light and truth involves seeking divine liberation. Now, somebody might say, oh, well, there's a lot of people who wants to be free. Oh, I know. You take a man or a young man who refuses to bow to any kind of an authority. Or you take a young woman who has got away from home or has told everybody, leave me alone, I'm going to live my own life. They think, those type of people, think they are true free spirits. When in reality, they're probably in more bondage than anybody else. The only real freedom, the only real liberty, the only real deliverance is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeking for light and truth involves seeking divine liberation. Notice in verse 3, seeking for light and truth, secondly, involves seeking divine leadership. Now, I know that some people seem to know what they want, they know what to do, they know how to make decisions, they're just very capable. But most of us don't. We're not put together like that. We need help. We need direction. We need assistance. And the psalmist said, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Graham Scroggie said, that soul shall never be found in a wrong way who is led by divine light and truth. Isn't that so? You show me somebody who's seeking after the Lord and they're wanting light and truth in their life, they'll have direction. They'll have divine leadership. Another old writer, J.C. Philpott, said, this writer knew his own helplessness. Therefore, he sought for help outside himself. He sought for help from God. So I would encourage us this morning as we look at a new year to be seekers of light and truth. Can I ask you a question? Are you satisfied where you are spiritually? Have you reached some level of total contentment and fulfillment? Oh, that we might seek for light and truth. You only get help if you want it. And thank God that God is gracious to those who cry out unto Him. Come to verse number 4 as we think about light and truth for the new year. We're not only confronted with this matter of seeking light and truth, but secondly, we're confronted with sacrificing in light and truth. When I use the word sacrificing, I'm talking about self-denial and yieldedness to the Lord and commitment to His will. Verse 4 says, then, after you give me light and truth, Lord, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Notice he said, then will I go to the altar. Now, to the psalmist, when he's referring to the altar, he's already talked about the holy hill, that would be Jerusalem, thy tabernacles, that would be the place of worship, the sanctuary. Now he talks about the altar. And so he's talking about bringing a sacrifice in his approach to God. Thankfully, we don't have to bring an animal sacrifice to God. We have a richer offering than all the cattle on a thousand hills, wrote Charles Simeon. Christ is our offering. However, He wants us to offer ourselves upon the offering of Himself. Paul said, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. I believe the Lord must be heard and grieved when we just give Him a little of our lives. He wants all of us. He wants our total devotion, our entire commitment. In fact, what is commitment if it is not all giving to the Lord? I love that little story about the hen and the hog, you know. They were comparing what they'd given so the people could have breakfast. And the hen told the hog, said, I've given them the eggs. I tell you, I'm at the top of the list. And the hog said, oh, no. Said, if they eat bacon, it demands of me a total sacrifice. Complete commitment. And I tell you, I believe the Lord wants complete commitment out of us. He wants us to give our all to Him. And so this despondent, discouraged soul says, Lord, if You'll give me light and truth, I'll commit myself to You afresh and anew. Really, we can't do that until He does help us with light and truth. He comes to us that we may come to Him. John said, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. Right. Let me mention a couple of things about this altar. First of all, I believe that it speaks to us of devotion to God. You know, what we are devoted to gets our biggest time or most time from our life. If you want to know what you're most devoted to, then calculate the hours of your week. And you'll soon discover what you love the most. It'll get the most of your time. The psalmist said, however, Lord, I want to come to the altar of God. I want to have a heart of devotion for Thee. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to come to the altar. I would encourage us this morning to come, not just to this altar, that's a good place to pray, but come to God's altar, get to the cross, and look to Christ. There's where real devotion is experienced. And then notice in that last part of verse 4, this thing of sacrificing in light and truth not only involves devotion to God, I will come, I will go unto the altar, but it involves delight in God. I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Notice, it isn't that going to the sanctuary is His exceeding joy, or giving a sacrifice is not His exceeding joy, or singing down at the tabernacle or the sanctuary. But He said, God is my exceeding joy. The Lord should be the object of all of our affections and our love. I had a young preacher come to me. He felt like he needed to be an evangelist. Well, since I've been out here 34 years traveling and hoboing from church to church, I know what it's really like. And I do everything I can to discourage a fella. I don't believe many of them are called because not many of them last. Not many of them endure out here very long. And I'm here not because I'm a good traveler. The older I get, the more I despise traveling. But I've traveled all these years because I believe God has assigned this position to me. But this young fellow said, Brother Tom, he said, I want to talk to you. So we had a time together, had a meal. And boy, he got right. I said, well, what's on your heart? He said, well, I feel like the Lord wants me to be an evangelist. He said, and what I want to know, this is his basic concern, is how do I get meetings? Well, in one sense, he had a legitimate concern because you can't be an evangelist if you don't have a meeting. However, I said, brother, I don't want to be negative at the first of our conversation, but you've got it all wrong. The goal is not meetings. The goal is loving Jesus and worshiping God and experiencing the reality of the Lord. And then if He wants to give you meetings, that's His business. Getting meetings is not the object. The object is loving Him. I thought of this. People say, I'm hoping I'll get a door open. Well, Jesus said, I am the door. That's more door than you can handle. And if you love Him and experience Him, He said you shall go in and out and have pasture. You'll have plenty of opportunities of service if you love Him. But I want to say here, the psalmist has it right. God is his great goal. God is his great object. God and God alone. He said, Thou art my exceeding joy. God, my exceeding joy. Can I ask you this morning, is the Lord your exceeding joy, or do you have something else as your main object, your goal, the drive and thrust of your life? This matter of experiencing light and truth in the new year involves seeking for it. It involves sacrificing in light and truth. Then I'd like to emphasize the last phrase of verse 4 and all of verse 5. I want to give a third emphasis. This matter of light and truth in the new year not only involves seeking for light and truth, verses 1 and 2 and 3, and sacrificing in light and truth, verse 4, but it involves sending out light and truth. Verse 4 and verse 5. Now, before I get into these verses, let me point out in verse 3, he wanted light and truth to come to him. Now, in the last of verse 4 and 5, he wants light to go out from him. You gotta receive water if you're gonna give your neighbor water. Let's say we have a deep freeze here in the next few weeks, and your neighbor's well freezes up, or the motor freezes up, and yours is gone. You've kept yours wrapped up, and you've got water. Hey, the only way you can help your neighbor have water is if you're receiving water. And spiritually, the only way we can help anybody else, if we're getting help, if we're getting strength from the Lord. And here he emphasizes, verse 4, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. He said, Lord, I'm going to send out light and truth with my harp. Now some would take that one phrase and say, well, he's tired. That's David. David wrote that psalm. David played a harp. Well, he wasn't the only harpist in Israel. You know, the old boy said he had married an angel. And they said, well, how do you know you married an angel? He said, well, she's always up in the air harping about something. Well, that's pretty bad, isn't it? You ladies forgive me now. But here the psalmist said, I'm going to send out light and truth by my harp. I'm going to play the song of the Lord. I'm going to harp out the melody of praise. Now, what about the harp? What does that represent in your life and in my life? I believe the harp represents whatever gift God has given you. Everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody can't be a deacon. Everybody can't sing specials. Everybody can't play musical instruments. And everybody can't teach a class. But we all have special gifts that God has given us. I told you about my friend up near Hendersonville who's now with the Lord. She got saved later in life. And she bugged her dear pastor about, I want to do something for the Lord. I've wasted all my life. I want to do something. What can I do? And he didn't know what to tell her. And one night he was laying in bed and it hit him. And he came back and told her. He said, you know, I got to thinking, you used to work in the florist, didn't you? Oh, she said, I've worked for every florist in the county. She said, I've worked on the side for them. And they'd have me make certain arrangements. And he said, do you think the Lord would let you do that for the church? Yeah. And so every Sunday they had a fresh arrangement of flowers. That was her way of serving the Lord. Yeah. And listen to this. Some of the other churches got to seeing what she was doing. They wanted her to do it for her, their church too. She expanded her ministry there before she got sick and went home to be with the Lord. But there's a thousand things that we may be able to do for the Lord. Just give him your harp. Play whatever he's given you. Do whatever the Lord allows you to do for his praise and for his glory. I would point out, not only did he send out light and truth with his harp, and I might add, you remember there was a time when the children of Israel couldn't play their harps. They were in Babylon. And the Bible says they hung their harps on the willow tree. They couldn't play it when they remembered Zion. But the psalmist here says, perhaps David, it's not said, perhaps Asaph, whoever, said, I'm going to make sure I don't leave my harp on the willow tree. I'm going to use my gift for God. I wonder this morning if there's somebody here, you have a gift that you're not using for the Lord. Some of you played up for the band here in the county, to school. and you hadn't picked up that instrument since you got out of school. I'm thankful for these nice musical instruments, but there's some others around here that could be doing that. Not necessarily those instruments, but others. Play your harp for God. Do what you can for His glory. And then notice in verse 5, he said, I'm not only going to send out light and truth with my harp. That's the gift God's given me. But I'm going to send it out with my heart. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, he asks himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, he tells himself. Then he says, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He said he's going to give me fresh light and fresh truth, and it's going to so minister to my inward man that it will become the health of my countenance. And I'm going to be able to send out light and truth not only with my harp, but with my heart. It'll have feeling in it. It'll have blessing in it. It'll have life in it. Because it doesn't just come from my ability to play the harp, but it comes from my heart and my soul. Dear friend of mine recently preached in a prison. Actually, he just gave his testimony. And he said, Brother Tom, he said, I realize that I'm limited in what I do, but he said the Lord's dealt with me about preaching and teaching. He said, I had this opportunity to do it in the prison. And he said, I don't know if anybody was saved or not, but he said, I just had the best time telling them what the Lord had done for me. Well, that may seem insignificant, you know. But I want to tell you, the Lord can use us as we are, where we are, as we seek for light and truth, as we sacrifice and commit ourselves in light and truth, and as we send out light and truth. The songwriter said, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Amen. I trust we'll give more to missions this year than we've ever given. We'll have a desire to support the works of the Lord in various places and ways. In a new way, sending out light and truth. David Livingstone was a great missionary in the heart of Africa. And in his diary, following his death, this following little passage was found. He had written it 13 months before he died. Here was his prayer, written in his diary. My own Jesus, my King, my life, my all I have given thee. I dedicate my whole self to thee. Accept me, O gracious Father, and grant that ere this year has gone, I may finish my task. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. And 13 months later, he finished his task and went to heaven. I don't know about you, but I'd like to not just serve him now, but I'd like to finish my course. I'd like to do everything that God's put me in the world to do that would glorify him and touch the lives of others. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Are you interested in that? May the Spirit of God put it in our hearts.